All right, we've now been joined by James Smalls, the crew chief for the number 19 for Joe Gibbs Racing. James, thank you for hustling over here. I know you had an eventful practice. We will go ahead and open for questions. If you have a question for James, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll work to get a mic to you. We're going to start up front here with Zach in the white.
Zach Cernial at NASCAR.com. James, what do you suspect happened to, that led to the flat left rear to start the session, and do you believe everything has been resolved?
Too low in air, too much camber, just too aggressive, I guess. You know, you saw it with a number of cars out there. So don't know if it's been resolved yet. You know, we stopped running there. You know, he had a little bit of a scare at the end. We made a lot of changes through that session. So, yeah, we'll have to look at it more, break these tires down and see.
All right, we'll go to Jeff Gluck, please.
Did you utter more curse words or have laps run in that session?
I was actually calm. So, no, it was fine. So I think we rolled pit road more times than we ran laps. So, yeah, still feel good about it. The pace there on that eight laps we did there, I think, was actually really good. And the car is feeling really good. Few things we need to clean up, but not worried one bit.
So how do you not worry then if, you know, I know you can make all the changes and be more conservative, but you didn't get a long run in. So how do you know it's going to be okay?
Because we have a long enough run there to understand where it was going and whatnot, and how we relate to our teammates as well and everything. So, you know, the 20 look exceptional on a long run there. 11 looked okay, I think. We'll see.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. I kind of get the impression, like you said, you're not super concerned. So how much of today and the different woes we saw was almost anticipated, or was some of that still kind of an abnormality, seeing that many issues or failures?
A little abnormal. You know, we thought there could be issues, but to see it as widespread as it was, especially as the session went, you thought it would get better, but people continued to have problems. So, yeah, we'll just have to see. Should be interesting on Sunday.
All right, go ahead.
Eddie Kalegi, Motorsports Today. James, I think it's interesting for your right here. I think it's interesting approach-wise because the results speak for themselves, and Chase has qualified so well this year. But this is the one race where, for you guys, the only thing that matters is where you finish on the final lap. So does the approach really change at all this week, or is it business as usual like the first 35 weeks?
Business as usual. You know, qualifying is going to be super important as well. So hopefully we can have a strong run and you know, try and get the number one stall. But, yeah, track position is always going to be king. So if you can qualify up front, you're going to stay there more than likely.
All right. Lee, go
Spencer,
ahead.
Sherry Sexton, NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Do you think seven tires is enough for Sunday's race?
Yeah, it'll be fine. So I'm sure everybody will sleep on it and have some better decisions and probably be no issues on Sunday. So, well, maybe there'll be a rash of them, but we'll see.
All right, James, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend. We will now continue. We've now been joined by Rudy Fugel and Chris Gale. If you have a question for Rudy or Chris, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll work to get a mic to you. We'll start up here with Lee.
Rudy, William was asked in after practice if he thought tires were going to be an issue. He just said flat out no, he's not worried. But it was so quick, it was like he's laser focused on the task at hand. He's not going to let anything else get to him. You kind of see him in that mode this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, that's what the driver should be worried about. And, you know, when it comes to tire failures, it's not their responsibility. It's ours to make those decisions and them to drive it and take care of them when we need to. Now, when it comes to, you know, durability and like making them live in a long run, that they have a huge part of that. So he knows he's got to take care of that. But yeah, he's worried about what he has to do and just gives us information to make good decisions, hopefully.
All right, Matt in the back.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. For both of you guys, how much of the issues today were anticipated, or I don't want to imply that Goodyear could have possibly brought a bad batch or something, but is that possibly a factor? How much of it is this versus that?
Yeah. I think this place, it's one of those that's really, really, it can be really tough when you get a tire that you've learned on a lot. You know, you learned on it at Richmond, learned on it at Loudon, and then you come here and this is, you know, it's hot and there's more load here than there is the other two places. So there's definitely some things to learn. At the test, at the wheel force test, I think there were some right side failures. So I think we were more concerned about those and what would happen in the left rears were kind of a surprise. But yeah, this is a track that's tough on tires for what we're trying to do to them. You know, it's definitely what we're trying to do with our situation to make the cars go faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Rudy, but definitely the load is the thing, right? And he's right. I don't think there were any left-side failures at the wheel force test. I was a little concerned about left-side failures, just kind of knowing where we've been at other tracks and probably started on the cautious side because I did not want to have a left rear failure and kind of go the other way and make sure that I have a chance to tear down three tires, Goodyear, look at them, and know that it's going to be okay, and then I can hopefully get to that edge closer to the race and not in practice.
And then for Gail, do you guys have a clutch issue kind of developing there?
Yeah, I don't know much about it now other than the throw is a little off and he's having a hard time with it disengaging just because the throw gets so long it won't disengage. We're looking into it now. I don't know any more than that at this point.
All right, Jenna.
Jenna Fryer, AP. Chris, how does this feel for you? It's your first Final Four and the pressure is immense on Denny, so I'm wondering how you're feeling about that.
I'm trying not to let it get to me at all. You know, that every piece of advice from many of these guys that have done it before are basically like, enjoy the moment. It's gonna be hard to not let it get to you. You know, you want to be successful, you want to do everything, but like, what happened with Denny not making it before me really has no reflection on what happens this time, right? So I shouldn't let that pressure bother me. You know, it should be separate, right? We're going to come in and do the best job we can and see what happens.
What is your personal desire to be the guy to finally get him a cup title?
I mean, I think that'd be great. I mean, for sure, that's what I want to do. But, this situation is there are four really good cars, really good teams, really good crew chiefs. I just want to win the race, right? And I want to be the champion. But it's not necessarily anything for me to come in and get it for Denny kind of thing. Whoever was driving, that would be my goal here. So, you know, would it be extra sweet with Denny just because I know what he's gone through, you know what I mean, and been close? Yes. But, I don't know that it changes anything.
All right, John, go ahead.
John Newby, Fan Buzz. So you guys both ran over 60 laps during this practice session. I was curious, with the tire fall that you saw, do you anticipate any changes to any, you know, final stage strategy or anything like that?
Really, really early days on that, but you have to look at it some more and go through it. And really, you know, to be honest, I think most of the final stage strategy stuff is learned from stage one and stage two. You know, we prepare for stage one and try to learn a bunch, and then stage two is generally a similar length of stage three, and that you kind of let that play out and learn on it and run all your numbers. So it's always a learning game because every session is different. Obviously, we're trying to get long runs to get that data to start with. We accomplished that, but it will be way, way different come Sunday.
Yeah, I think if you look at Martinsville, right, that was one where everybody was going to split every stage and everything was going to happen. And by the time we got to stage two, we're going 90, 120-plus laps, and it isn't much different, right? So I think, you know, you look at the practice deck, you compare it to other practices, you know kind of, okay, I need to expect something different in the race when I got all the cars out there running, laying rubber down the entire time. So definitely that'll be fluid as it goes. I think having tire failures, that could be the thing that changes it, because then we're coming to pit road under yellow, right? So a guy might be more worried about short pitting and getting burned by something like that.
Go ahead, Lee.
Chris, what have you learned about Denny over the course of your tenure? Dale Jarrett was in here yesterday, and having been a JGR driver himself, he said that Denny Hamlin was the best hire that Joe Gibbs ever made.
Yeah, I think I've talked about this before. It's just his professional side, right? And I don't know Denny Hamlin working with him on the team, younger Denny Hamlin. I know Denny Hamlin now, right, after he's kind of gone through all this adversity and decided I'm at the end of my career, I'm going to be extra motivated to do everything I can to be ready. And that's the only part I see. I mean, we kind of wore Sim out. He's to the point that we need track data before we could do anything else. Like, we're just wasting time now because we've kind of done so much of that. And then him just looking at the data himself, he is relentless on looking at SMT, thinking about restarts, grabbing all the data he can, more than I've been around any other guy. So I think that's the part that's you know, changed for him. He would say changed, and that's what I've noticed immediately coming in. I just wasn't aware of how much time he put into that kind of stuff.
All right, Holly.
Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. This may sound a little bit out there, but do you guys do anything in terms of like giving a pep talk or doing something that's not nuts and bolts? That's let's get this going, team. Do you have somebody come in and speak to them this weekend? Anything like that?
I sound like the pep talk guy.
No, I try to have some quick one-liners. That's what I'm known for, is some one-liners and some of that. So, but yeah, no, nothing else. You know, we try to. I mean, we have a lot of professionals. I'm lucky to have pretty much the same team for the past 5 years, and this is our third year doing it. So they kind of know what we're up against. And, yeah, we just reminders to enjoy it and to leave nothing out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely not my forte. I have a couple pit crew members that are really good at it. And we had pit practice yesterday, and one of them, like, was ready to give a speech. I mean, we were ready to run the race yesterday if it would have – been there, we were ready to pit. But no, I think more just it's individual talking to guys. You can tell kind of when guys are uptight or when they're not, and you kind of build those relationships throughout the year, and you talk about it then, you know. And we've had some small, we'll go to dinner and talk about things, but no really rah-rah, fire-up kind of speech thing.
All right.
Noah Reed, Kenny Wallace Media. Rudy, you've been with William for a number of years now. This is your guys' third championship four appearance. I'm curious, how have you seen him, you know, evolve and grow and develop since your guys' time in the Truck Series to where he is now as a perennial championship contender?
Yeah, I mean, talk about this a lot, but the biggest thing the last probably year and a half is just the, you know, maturity. He just keeps maturing, and what I mean by that is just getting more comfortable with himself and comfortable with what's going on and not really worrying about the outside factors and outside anything. It's just him and his team, and that helps him ride the highs and lows a lot better, I believe.
All right, Zach, go ahead.
Zach Sterniola, NASCAR.com. Rudy, kind of in that same vein, this is your third straight trip to the championship four now. William said yesterday that this has become business as usual for the 24 team. I know that past experience doesn't mean anything this weekend, but how does year three feel different than year one with getting to the championship four?
Yeah, I think it's mostly just knowing what to expect, you know, for the most part, you know, and that when it comes to the outside factors, coming and doing this interview and not getting the debrief, which I'm itching to go get out of here and stop talking to y'all. And it's all those things I'm used to, right? And that's the rest of it. There's always surprises. There's tires, there's fall off. There's times where you could run forever on tire. All those things are going to be different. Who you're racing is different. We've never raced this group, this full group, right? We've raced Larson one time. So all that's slightly different, but it's I think you're just used to it. It's more routine instead of like amped up about just the situation. So we're excited. We want to take advantage of the opportunity, but we're not, you know, we're not surprised by the odd situations.
M. Chopper, Motorsports Today, over here. Rudy, so if you or the five team win the championship, it would be Hendrick Motorsports' 15th championship in 30 years, basically 50% of that entire time frame. So if you guys are the ones to get done, what would that mean? Just won your first championship with William Byron in general, but also being able to add on to that legacy of the 24 car in Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah, I mean, Hendrick Motorsports is built on a culture from Mr. and Mrs. Hendrick. It's gone on for, this is year 41. I understand the championships are the last 30. I'm taking your word for that. Yeah, it means everything because that's what we're here to do. He gives us all the tools, you know, lets us do our thing. It gives us all the trust in the world and support. And, you know, that's our goal is to support and give that championship to him and everybody that works there. They've been working there for so long and so hard, and it's just been a long year. So trying to finish it out with a championship is it will be huge.
All right, Rudy, Chris, thank you guys so much for your time. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.